Good morning. What a great joy it is to see your smiling faces as we come together this day to celebrate the gifts and the blessings from Almighty God. If you picked up one of these bulletins this morning, I'm going to give you a warning right now. It's going to be more of a guide today. When I was growing up, there was an asterisk at the bottom of the service that said subject, service subject to change by the power of the Holy Spirit. When I went to seminary and we were to turn in worship folders from other churches, I took it in, was rather proud. The worship professor looked over at Kendall McCabe and said, fascinating to blame human mistakes on the Holy Spirit. There are some differences in it today. First and foremost being, I kind of guess that the tradition here is that on Consecration Sunday, when we bring our commitments, that we do communion. We are breaking that tradition today. Communion will be next Sunday, the first Sunday of the month. The Advent reading is also, we're shifting that a little earlier because it'll make the service go a little smoother. Trust us, just follow along and everything will work well. Famous last words. But in the midst of it all, you know, when life never goes according to plan, that usually is where we meet God the most often. And so may we experience the gifts and blessings from Almighty God this day as we celebrate and worship together. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Good morning. We will begin our worship service with our moments of informality, where I will take just a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of our church. But first, I offer a warm welcome to all, and especially our visitors. And we have lots of visitors this morning with this precious little baby that's going to get baptized in a few minutes. Red attendance folders are located at the end of your pew. Please sign the registration form in those red booklets. Pass it to others in your pew, and then bring it back to the center aisle. If you do have a prayer request this morning, please complete the 3x5 card that's in that red folder. Place it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and then the ushers will bring it forward to the pastor. A few of our announcements, most of them are reminders. Payments and order forms for the beautiful poinsettias that adorn our church on Christmas Eve are due today. Poinsettias are $7.25, and they will be available for you to take home after the Christmas Eve service at 11 p.m. Extra forms can be found on the table in the narthex. Rata cutlery orders are here, so if you ordered some rata, it is here in the church office. You can pick that up after worship. We did make a profit of $378 that will go toward our mission chair. So finance chairperson thanks you for your orders. Our Advent wreath sign up, and that is for the lighting of the candles. Today marks the beginning of Advent, and volunteers are still needed. Believe it or not, we're in Advent and we have some blank spaces. So today, after announcements, I'm going to pass around the clipboard, and there are a few spots. And this is just really a really important time in the life of our church and an opportunity for you to share with your family, with your children, just the true meaning of Christmas. So any family member, and it's not just, quote, blood. You could be the person that sits next to you in the pew. It could be your fifth cousin twice removed. But anyway, in all seriousness, please consider deep down in your heart this wonderful ministry that helps us celebrate the coming of our Lord. December Fellowship Night at Irwin First will be sweet because we're making gingerbread houses, and that will be next Sunday, December 7th at 2 p.m. in the gym. And you can build great memories and share Christmas fun with family and friends. There is a second sign-up sheet on this clipboard, and if you do sign up and pre-register, gingerbread is provided for you. And there's more detailed information in today's bulletins. And the holidays are fast approaching. We just completed Thanksgiving, and now we are into the Advent preparations for Christmas. And our church is very busy at this time. Our outreach and witness committees sponsor many worthwhile projects. We have a food bank here in the church. We have an angel tree, Christmas food baskets. These are just a few of the many activities that will be going on for the next several weeks throughout our Christmas season. So please check your bulletin on a way that you can make a donation. There are also posters in the narthex with more detailed information about how you and your family can become involved in these wonderful programs. And finally, I do remind you to please read the remainder of your bulletin with regard to announcements, meetings, and other activities in the life of our church.
In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven. The powers in the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with the great power and glory. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at dawn. Keep awake. Such amazing things happen in the sky to herald the return of the Son of Man, Jesus coming in the clouds. The sun grows dark, the moon doesn't shine, and the stars fall from the heavens. So different from that first coming more than 2,000 years ago, with angels singing and God's glory and peace on earth. With the star shining and guiding the way to the manger, with shepherds and wise men, rich and poor, coming to worship. And so we watch and wait, and stay alert, waiting again for the coming of Jesus. And we light a single candle in preparation for that glorious day. Even if the sun should grow dark, even if the moon refuses to shine, even if the stars should fall from the sky, we will have Jesus, the light of the world, to shine brightly in our hearts, lighting our way. Please look on the second page of your bulletin where it says, All. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. Isaiah pleads for God to open the heavens and come down. God embraces those who do right and seek justice.
Those who walk in godly ways.
Like clay in the hands of the potter. We are all God's people. Please continue standing and join me as we recite the opening prayer together. You will find that prayer printed in your bulletin. God, your promise of hope comes to us, wrapped in anticipation and expectation. Though the sun may be darkened, though the moon may cease to give forth its light, though the stars may fall from heaven, we will continue to thank you that a new day is dawning, a day when we will see the Son of Man coming with power and glory. As we await that day with great hope, may we use our spiritual gifts to your glory. Reveal to us our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be strengthened and blameless in your sight. You are faithful, Lord. May it be so for us who have gathered in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
I would invite you to turn in front of your hymnals to page numbered 39, where we will be sharing together in the baptismal covenant number 2, and I would invite Riley to come forward with her family at this time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of holy baptism, we are initiated into Christ's church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given birth, new birth, through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. And so for all of you as parents and sponsors, I ask on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace? Promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will. And do you, as members of the body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and you brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy every day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus Christ, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called in his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin, to clothe her in righteousness throughout her life,
that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. He just fell asleep. What name is given to this child? Riley Leona Ann Howard. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may ever be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. He stayed asleep. You know, baptism never occurs in isolation, but it occurs in the midst of a community, in the midst of a worship service. And just as mom and dad and the sponsors have taken a vow, we also take a vow to all baptized children to see to their care and their being raised in the life of the church. And so I bring her in your midst now. I invite you now to refer to your bulletin where this paragraph has been printed with the changes. And it would be my hope and prayer that as we recite these vows as a congregation, that having been going through our month of stewardship, that indeed there might be some new meaning and some new dedication as we come to that place in the church where we renew our covenant. So members of the household of God, I commend this child in Riley to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service,
and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, may he establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Stand and join me in our hymn of praise number 203 in your red hymnal, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Seated. Ow. Ah. So how is everyone? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Did you eat mushrooms and sausage? No. Did you eat chicken feet and chicken lips?
No.
What did you have?
I had stuffing.
Stuffing? Stuffing and potato and gravy. Did you have stuffing or dressing? I learned on the TV the other day, stuffing is when it's in the bird and dressing is when it's never been in the bird. I prefer stuffing. But the health people say, nah. Did you have mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
Sweet potatoes? No. Oh, how about those green beans with the mushrooms and the onions on top? No? Oh, those are some of my family's favorites. Let me see. Corn casserole? No? How about cranberry sauce? Ooh. Now, did you have that goo out of a jar? Or did somebody chop it and make it? Uh-oh. Yeah, the stuff out of a jar looks like jelly. The other stuff looks like it's just all chopped up like a mess. Yeah. And let me see. Pumpkin pie? Mmm, whipped cream? You don't like whipped cream? I'll take it. You can give me yours. All right. What else did you have? Anything else?
Peas.
Peas? She likes peas, you don't. You like peas? Okay, yum. Anything else? What'd I miss? What's that? Oh, turkey. Duh. Anybody have turkey? Ham? Who likes the dark meat? Woohoo! How about the light meat? Oh, yeah. Drumstick, well, that's kind of dark meat. But on the turkey, you got all those long straws you have to pull out. I don't know what those things are called. You had vegetables, too? All right. And so now we just had Thanksgiving on Thursday, and everything is decorated today for Christmas. And that's about 4 weeks away. So what do we call this time now? Not quite. Winter? I didn't really think anybody would come up with the word. It's called Advent. Advent. And during Advent, we light four candles. Today, the candle, can you read what that banner says? Starts with the word H. Hope. Oh, there's another one over here, a big one over here called Hope. We'll have a different banner over there each week that will have a word on it that matches here, the word for the day. And today is Hope. Hope is we're hoping for Christmas because of the little baby that's born on Christmas morning, who is baby Jesus, you're right. And that's what we're hoping for right now, for baby Jesus, not only in the world, but right here in our hearts, all right? Your mom's going to have a baby at Christmas? Absolutely wonderful. I hope it's not in a manger with a bunch of cows, but we'll wait and see. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful for these children. We pray that they might have a great hope for the Jesus, the child of Bethlehem. We pray that you also will bless their moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, and all their caregivers, all those, oh God, that seek faithfully to teach them and to lead them as good shepherds. We pray for their mission and ministry to the world, and we pray that we might be strengthened because of them. Bless them, oh God, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Just as a reminder, as the children are going around collecting for the food bank, we have many families in our community that are in dire need. Over the last several months, we have served approximately 125 families that need our help. So we do get some of the food from the Westmoreland County Food Bank, but we rely on donations from the church to buy other non-perishable items. So dig deep in your pockets today and remember those families that do not have the abundance that we do. Thank you.
Stand to the divine, the Lord's.
As I mentioned, there were slight changes in the order today. Initially, it appears that as you were coming up for communion, that there were going to be baskets for you to place your pledge cards for 2015. God has blessed all of us. And as we come and give thanks in returning of our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings, it is our hope and our prayer that our pledge for 2015 will also be an offering of our tithes, our gifts, our offerings, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And so we would invite you to place those pledge cards in the offering plates as well as the ushers come to wait upon us.
Most Heavenly Father, all praises and honor and glory to you this morning. Thank you for sending your Spirit to work in our life. Give us patience as we wait for the revealing of your glorious kingdom. May the gifts and offerings we present today serve your purposes as we prepare for the birth of your Son, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to that time in our service to lift up our joys and our concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you would turn on the back of our worship folder, you will see our prayer list and concerns for the week and for the month. Bill continues to be a patient at Westmoreland Hospital. Those other individuals are in personal care homes. There are those there, the next listing of those that we continually are mindful of in our prayers, and then the month prayer list of those that rotate on and off for the month's time, as well as then our service personnel there listed at the bottom. I am certain that all of these individuals would covet your prayers during this week, especially for those in situations that are not perhaps mentioned, all of those that are going through procedures or treatments, those that have been devastated by storms with an abundance of snow, and of course those places around the world then where there is turmoil, and just situations where we know that God's presence and grace and love need to intervene. So let us now unite our hearts and our spirits as we sing together our prayer hymn number 196, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Gracious and loving God, how good it is to be in your home, be in your house, to be in your church, your sanctuary, to be, O God, where you promised us that wherever two or more are gathered, there in the midst you will be. O God, as we've come through this week of Thanksgiving, we have been reminded, O God, oh so well, as to how fortunate we are, how blessed we are. Plates were overflowing, refrigerators are still full, cupboards have more than we can imagine. Oh God, we are thankful for the gifts and the blessings that you shower upon us each and every day. And yet, oh God, in all of the fullness, in all of the gifts and the blessings that we've received, oh God, may we remember that it's about your Son, Jesus Christ, the child of Bethlehem, the one who seeks to give the world hope.
the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. The one, O God, that we refer to as the Word, the one that was with you when you spoke and all that is came into being. The one who spoke and lives were changed and transformed and made new by healing words, healing touch. Oh God, we pray for that healing today as well. The healing of individuals, the healing of situations, the healing, oh God, of the nations. Oh God, we pray for the lives of others and for ourselves. We know, O God, that your presence is in the midst of those places where there is sickness, where there is hunger, where there is uncertainty, where there is oppression, where there is abuse, where there is hatred. We know, O God, that your presence is there in the midst of grace and love, where everything seems to be going oh so well. O God, we pray that your kingdom will come upon the earth as indeed it is in heaven. And that we, O God, might be your faithful servants through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and yes, our witness of living and sharing and proclaiming this good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of this Christ child. The good news of the one who has come and changed the world like no single person ever has or ever will. Oh God, continue to bless each family, each individual that is represented here this day, their mission and ministry to the world, the mission and ministry of churches to the world. Oh God, continue to guide us, to direct us, to walk with us as we seek faithfully to be your servants in the world. Oh God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would invite you now to hear and listen to these words of Scripture for us this day that come to us from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 64 with verse 1. The prophet writes these words, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when a fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nation might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we might not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right. Remember those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourselves, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their claim upon our daily lives and living even yet today. And now, O God, from the activities of daily life and living, we pray that you will comfort us, that you will quiet our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, give us rest from those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. In my younger years, it was a great treat when Mom and Dad would surprise us and say, "We're going to the Dairy Queen, hop in the car." If it was your birthday, you got a banana split. If it was not your birthday, you got a cone. My parents told us that if we got cones, we could go more often. Not quite sure what that meant, because I don't remember going often. But I remember going, and I remember that as we were getting there and pulling into the parking lot, that there was strategy where we were going to park so that Mom and Dad could watch people. Watching people is fascinating because we certainly do some dumb and annoying things. We especially do dumb and annoying things when we are away from home and we don't believe that anyone who knows us is able to watch. Oh, have you ever been on a vacation, perhaps to some exotic island, and there is that drunk American barking out orders to the locals, insisting that they point him or her back to the ship? Wouldn't you just like to tell them it's the opposite direction that it really is? Or the stories of coworkers on a business trip who take that as a chance to flash back to their college days and act like it is spring break. Or I remember a church member years ago in my first congregation, Gary, came back and said, "Oh my goodness, David, it was one of the worst business trips I'd ever been on because of my roommate." He said, "What are you supposed to do? How do you respond when you are in your bed? There were two beds in the room, and your coworker comes in and says, 'Hey, I picked up a lady. Will you leave for a couple hours?' And it's midnight." Yes, people do dumb and annoying things. There is a travel app that takes surveys. People actually fill out the surveys, which might be part of the dumb and annoying thing, but that travel survey confirms what so many of us already know: the terrible tourists' behavior abounds. 25% of the respondents have said that they admitted to having a one-night stand while on a business trip. Another 15% admitted to buying or selling drugs while traveling. I thought that was dangerous enough to people you know. Why in the world would you do it in an unknown community? However, the survey does not ask how many tourists actually wear those fanny packs. I'll bet those numbers would go kind of high. Ain't ever going to happen by this guy. It's easy when you're on vacation or in an area to pick out those tourists because they tend sometimes to be rude, have wild behavior. Well, it's easy to point to them until we start realizing that we also all have our own annoying and downright destructive behavior. Sit down sometime, probably not all at one sitting, and read the 66 chapters of Isaiah. Isaiah makes it abundantly clear that God is not so well pleased with our arrogant and irreverent actions of the people of God. We all do dumb and annoying things, thinking when no one is watching, but the reality of it is, my friends, is that God always is. Let's look at ourselves for a moment, if we can, if we will. Isaiah reflects on the historic ongoing pattern of sin in the lives of God's people. When we read the whole of the Old Testament, we see this cycle that the Hebrew people are in. I'm convinced if we keep a daily log or a journal or a diary, you can see your own cycles as well. When the Hebrew people, the Israelites, are faithful, they are a source to contend with. They are unbeatable. But then they do dumb and stupid things, and they begin trusting in themselves, and their power and authority begins to wane. And then one of the outside countries come in and overthrow them, and they are placed in captivity, and they bottom out. And then they start coming to their senses, whining and complaining, and then God either sends a judge or a new king or a prophet, and they heed the words and they become faithful servants again in God's kingdom, and then they reach to a high status only for that to continually complete itself over and over and over again. In this morning's reading, take a look at verse 6, if you would. There in verse 6, the prophet Jeremiah uses four powerful images to illustrate what we look like from God's perspective and what God is not happy about. Four in one verse, verse 6. The number one thing that sets God off in verse 6 is that we have become like one who is unclean. We dive into sin and drag others along with us for the ride. God has put us on this planet to live a life of love, and we choose to roll around in the dirt. We think to ourselves, God must love me. God has to love me. That's what God does. Perhaps we don't think of ourselves so badly. After all, we keep all of the Ten Commandments. We're not so sure about the other 650, but we'll at least keep the 10. And after all, we're pretty good at avoiding the seven deadly sins as well: wrath, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. Well, wait a minute. As we hear that list, maybe gluttony, maybe greed, maybe pride and lust can be a little troublesome for us today. Okay, we don't do so well with the seven deadly sins either. The second thing that really irks God in verse 6 is that we offer righteous deeds that are like a polluted garment. Translation? We walk around arrogantly overestimating the little bit of goodness we do display, lacking any self-awareness of how offensive overall we are to Almighty God. How often do we find ourselves looking at another individual and their behavior or their appearance and saying, well, thank God I'm not like them. I don't look like them, I don't act like them, therefore I'm okay. But when we place our lives next to Jesus Christ, well, then everything tends to change and rebalance itself. The third thing that really annoys God in verse 6 is we fade like a leaf. Oh, we've all recently seen how some of the leaves or plants have been doing well, and all of a sudden they got hit by a little bit of cold weather and they've turned dark, deep green and withered and faded away. Our spirituality, our love for God is quick to become brittle and lifeless. One temptation hits us. One struggle emerges, and we are quick to point our finger at God in accusation or cry that we now are spiritually annoyed. And last, number four, the obnoxious things that God hates. In verse 6, we are taken away like the wind. We don't just dabble in dark behavior, we major in it. Sin has such a strong hold on our hearts, our minds, and our spirits that we all too easily can be pulled away from God. The big question that really needs to be answered is this: why is it that we act this way? Why is it that God's own people consistently rebel against God's goodness? Why is it that we, at times in our lives, act like entitled fools, not even knowing or caring that the one we really are offending is Almighty God? Why is our witness every day not Christ-like? It certainly should be. Isaiah saw all those things that were going on around him and said, "Oh, that you, O God, would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains might quake in your presence as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence." How did God respond to those words of Isaiah? Well, my friends, when God finally did tear open the heavens and come down, just as Isaiah requested, what did we receive? We received that little child, that babe of Bethlehem. We received Jesus Christ. We received God in the very flesh, touring the world. We received God in Jesus Christ, suffering on a cross, and in short, we are forgiven. You see, that, my friends, is the good news for each and every one of us today. In Christ, we can always come home. We are always welcome to come into the presence of Almighty God, because God will not treat us as our sin deserves. God treats us like those sons and daughters, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, relatives, neighbors that sat around the table on Thursday, welcomed. God does not wish us to be gone. God gives us grace and remembers that God desires to be in a relationship and fellowship with each and every one of us. May our lives bear witness to what God has done and the promise of what God will do for each of us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, for their reality, but for the hope, for the good news of Jesus Christ, His grace and forgiveness that seeks to change, to transform, and to make us new. Oh God, continue to bless us and use us as your faithful servants in the world. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together, 242, Love Came Down at Christmas. gracious and loving God, your presence is upon each and every one of us. With great hope and expectation, O God, we go into the world to be your faithful servants, to live, to share, to proclaim, to bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. For we go, O God, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.